I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Every day we're on from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, it's the podcast version, John Cobell Show on Demand, which is the same as the radio show, but you get to hear it whenever you want and listen to whatever you missed. We have a moist line emergency here. Apparently, there has been little response this week, so we're not going to play dead air. 877-MOIST-86. 877-MOIST-86. This is your chance once a week to be heard by hundreds of thousands, millions of people all across the world. So you call in and vent your opinion on whatever's pissing you off. You can also use the TalkBack feature on the iHeart app, 877-MOIST-86. We are continuing to cover that strange story where you had a man dead in Woodland Hills, a woman gets killed crashing her car in Redondo Beach, and then the two children left on the side of the freeway. One of the two kids was dead in Culver City on the 405. They're all one family unit of some sort, and finally some more details are coming out to explain what happened on Monday morning. Let's go to Blake Trolley, KFI News, to see what the latest is. It's pulling one thread at a time together here.
Yeah, John, well, this is an absolutely tragic story. And even though one of the children survived this brutal series of events, this is likely going to impact her for the rest of her life. So on Monday, we heard that a man killed in Woodland Hills, a baby killed on the 405, and a woman killed in a crash in Redondo Beach were all connected, which really raised a lot of questions as to how all these things could possibly be related, given that they were so far apart. Well, the LAPD is saying that this is a murder-suicide involving a couple. The series of events begins at a high-end apartment building in Woodland Hills where 34-year-old Danielle Johnson allegedly fatally stabbed her live-in boyfriend, Jalen Chanley, during an argument. This was about 3:40 a.m. She then loaded her daughter and 8-month-old baby into a Porsche SUV, busted through the garage of that apartment building, and then took off. Police say while she was on the 405 near Howard Hughes, and to give you a timeline, this is about an hour later, she pushed her kids out of the car. Apparently, she told them to get out. This is what police are saying. And when they wouldn't, she pushed her 9-year-old daughter out of the car, who was holding her infant sibling. Well, that 9-year-old lost grip of her sibling, who is an infant child, who was then fatally struck by a car. Johnson ultimately ends up in Redondo Beach, where it appears she just intentionally decides to end her life and torpedoes into a tree. Police say she was going more than 100 miles per hour when she slammed into that tree. And again, this is being called a murder-suicide. Now, all of this, John, happened before police were even alerted to the initial murder. Neighbors say that they noticed the door was open to this couple's apartment, and it sounds like it was left a bloody mess. It sounds like there was blood all over the place and blood leading to the elevator. One of these neighbors, she panicked. She called her father, so he showed up, and he found Chanley face down. So this really left the neighbors rattled. I imagine this 9-year-old's life is going to be forever changed. And same with that, you know, the person on the 405 who ran over that infant.
Oh. Does the driver on the 405 know they ran over the infant?
That's a really good question. We'll have to work to figure out exactly what happened there. I mean, I know when all of this did unfold, you know, the drivers did, I believe they did pull over, so I would assume that, yes, they know what happened.
I mean, yesterday there was a slightly different set of details about the story. So these two were not married, but they were living together. And was the younger kid, the baby, their child? And then the 9-year-old, the mother's child from another relationship?
Yeah, so we're working to confirm exactly whose children they were. They both belong to Danielle Johnson. This is the woman who carried out this series of events. There are some questions that are still pending as to whether or not the baby was the couple's child. The 9-year-old was for sure solely Danielle Johnson's child. But when it comes to that infant, there are still some questions that reporters are trying to get answered as to what was the relationship between Chanley and the infant.
I mean, I can't imagine what triggered this surge of anger, because I saw reports that when Johnson got into the car with the kids, she rammed right through the security gate, a metal security gate. I saw a photo of it today, and that was not an easy gate to ram through, but she blew it right off its hinge.
Yeah, it was all caught on video. This is a high-end apartment building. They don't just put flimsy gates on those parking structures. This was a very secure gate. And again, she gets into her Porsche SUV, loads the kids up, and speed smashes right through that gate. All of that caught on video. So yeah, there's still a lot of questions. I mean, I think one of the biggest questions investigators are trying to answer, a question that we all have right now, is what started this argument? When you listen to the timeline, that's very abnormal in itself, right? They were arguing at 3:40 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people aren't even awake at that time.
No, I mean, the 9-year-old, I guess, is the only witness. Whenever she woke up, she obviously was witness to the getaway by mom. And then, you know, what's really heartbreaking was when mom threw the two girls out of the car, the 9-year-old was holding the baby and I guess dropped her. Or the baby got away from her, and then the baby gets hit by a car. I mean, that is the worst thing that poor child's going to have to carry around with her.
Absolutely. And you know what, John? Neighbors are saying that the 9-year-old did witness the murder of Jalen Chanley as well. So she did witness that fatal stabbing. And when you really read about the, you know, just the condition in which the apartment was left, I mean, neighbors, they decided to look into this because, again, the door was open. Apparently, Chanley was laying face down. People could see his feet sticking out, and there was blood everywhere, blood leading to the elevator. So this sounds like a pretty gruesome murder that this 9-year-old was witness to.
I mean, it's one of the worst things I've ever heard that a little child would have to witness. And mother's gone. I guess that's not her dad who was murdered, but she saw him get killed by mom and then dropping her sister, half-sister, whatever, into the road and gets run over. That's just unspeakable. All right, Blake, thanks very much for all that.
All right, thanks, John.
Blake Trolley. The neighbors, Jody and Richard Berglund, well, let's see, they're not neighbors, but their daughter is a neighbor. She's 26, not named in the story, and she woke up at 3:40 in the morning, and she heard a child and a woman screaming in the apartment next door. When she left for work hours later, she saw the neighbor's apartment door wide open. And like Blake said, blood on the floor, blood streaked in the elevator. She didn't even go into the apartment. She took the elevator downstairs and called her parents and told them to go check. And he found the father, Richard Berglund, found legs sticking out from the kitchen and blood everywhere. Apartment was in disarray. Everything was knocked over. He had to step over puddles of blood to walk into the kitchen and found his neighbor face down, wearing only socks and underwear, and he was dead. So I guess this the Berglund family lived in the same complex there as neighbors. The guy who got killed, his name is Jalene Allen Cheney, and he was a technician in the 31st Munitions Squadron stationed in Italy. He was in the Air Force as recently as 2020. So that's the latest. Details coming out very slowly. We come back. The story came out late in our show yesterday and just basically went through the headlines. Now, a day later, there's a lot more detail from various news sources, and it's really sinking in, and it's really worse than I ever imagined. As negative and cynical as I am about the California government and the incompetence and boobery of Gavin Newsom, this is one of the most atrocious stories of governance I've ever heard in my life. One line to describe it: $24 billion has been spent on homelessness, and they don't know where it all went, and they don't know if any of it worked and did any good. They don't have any idea. It's a state audit that found that the government's oversight is a complete zero. It's non-existence. It's Newsom runs like a non-government. They just blew the money. It's hard to believe. Simultaneously, there's audits in Los Angeles, and the suspicion is the same thing's happening in L.A., and in San Diego, and in San Jose. All the biggest cities in the state have spent billions and billions of dollars, and not only has it done no good, they never even look to see if it does any good. They're not even interested. They don't care. This is a huge multi-billion dollar racket, a scam. We'll tell you more about it when we come back.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
This is so stunning. You know, it's not stunning. This is what I always suspected. It's worse than I suspected, but it's, you know, this is what I thought to some extent was going on. So in that way, it's not stunning, but that it actually is happening this way. For real, we have proof now. We have an admission. When it finally sinks in, it just makes you sit there and go, oh, my God, is that possible? And there is a state auditor by the name of Grant Parks, California state auditor. And he looked at all the state homeless programs. The state has Newsom. This is Newsom. Has spent $24 billion in the last 5 years. So this is all Newsom. $24 billion. They have very little, almost no accounting for where the money went and whether any of it was effective. And when I mean they have very little, I mean very little. In a lot of cases, a lot of programs, nothing. They have no information at all. No information as to whether this worked or not. There is an agency, you probably never heard of it. The California Interagency Council on Homelessness. Now, see if you can follow this. This is a Newsom idea. It's an agency that is supposed to oversee all the smaller agencies, which in turn oversees all the nonprofits that ultimately get the money and spend it. Okay, so it's a super agency. And according to the audit, this Interagency Council on Homelessness only in 5 years collected information about the costs and the outcomes of the state programs. They only did it once. Once in 5 years did they say, hey, how much is this costing and where is it going? excuse me a second. I've got some allergies acting up, so I'm going to try not to cough and gag all over you. All right, so they've collected information once. So as a result, according to the audit, get this name right of this, Interagency Council on Homelessness cannot aggregate or report the information to inform decision makers. So what they're saying is, the auditor's saying is like, this super agency has no idea what's going on, so they can't tell the governor or the legislature anything useful. If the California Interagency Council on Homelessness collects this information, it could present the costs and outcomes of each program and then allow decision makers and the public to understand the cost per outcome and compare programs. But there is no information. The money is simply sent to the various state agencies, which passes it down to these criminal homeless nonprofit operations. And I mean criminal, because everybody in this chain knows what's going on. They know no one's keeping track of the money. They know none of the money is going to anything good. In fact, I'm sure a lot of the money is just being siphoned off and stolen. It's got to be. Because if you know the state's not tracking, why would you bother spending money on the homelessness? Why? Who the hell wants to do that? Do you really want to spend your day wrangling homeless people and trying to get them into shelters and getting them into apartments and drug addiction and feeding? Of course you don't. That's a very unpleasant job. That's why I was always suspect about how there's all these agencies with all these employees. It's like there's not that many good people in the world. There just isn't. But there's that many scam artists and crooks and grifters in the world. You know, it's like when we were giving away unemployment checks during the lockdown without doing background checks. There were $30 billion worth of criminals that showed up around the world to take the money from California. And here, this is $24 billion. $24 billion in state money. By the way, we have a third of the homeless people in the nation. We have 183,000 homeless people in the nation. We are 12% of the country's population and a third of the homeless. The homelessness is up 53% in the last 10 years, up 30% in the last five. You know how much we spend annually on each homeless person with all these criminal, crooked programs? We spend $30,000 a year per homeless person. And that doesn't include local programs. Figure in LA, they're spending about another $20,000 per person. So that's $30,000 on top of $20,000. We might be spending $50,000 a year on each homeless person. Except, who the hell knows? Again, they don't track the money. Nobody knows how it's spent. Nobody knows if it does any good or not. And obviously, there's a lot of or not. This, how can anybody remain in office? How can the public keep Gavin Newsom in office? He should be forced out immediately. Imagine again that you had somebody at your workplace who is an executive, and for 5 years, he had no idea what was coming in, what was going out, and whether all the money spent on whatever product and services you have ever did any good. That billions of dollars disappeared from your company without a trace. I will never understand till I'm dead what anybody sees in Gavin Newsom. If it isn't obvious on day one that he's an empty-headed fool, does this convince you? I mean, I'd love to go to the most partisan pro-Gavin Newsom, you know, those white, wealthy, woke women who find Newsom to be cute because of his hair gel and his jawline. Explain this to him. I mean, in the El Segundo Times printed a lot of these details. This is not a media bias thing. Really, they blew $24 billion. They really did. Gavin Newsom blew $24 billion on homelessness, and they don't know what it went for. They can't tell you that it did any good. They don't know. They never looked. Nobody in the whole system, including the governor, ever looked to see. Nobody was curious. It's just a racket. It's just to reward the politically connected who set up these quickie nonprofits. They take in millions of dollars and they pay themselves hundreds of thousands. There's no homeless help going on here at all. There never has been. Got more coming up.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Alex Stone is going to come on with us from ABC News just after 2 o'clock. Another Boeing shocker here. There's an engineer who's worked on the 787 Dreamliner, and he says that there could be structural flaws with the 787, and it would start breaking apart during flight later down the road. The more it flies, the more the chance that it's going to burst into pieces. He's going to testify in Washington, D.C. next week. He says the fuselage is being fastened together improperly. Apparently, the fuselage comes in sections from different companies, and then Boeing has to assemble it, like I guess like a jigsaw puzzle, and fasten it together. And I guess this whistleblower thinks that it's not a good process they have, and eventually everything's going to come apart, and it's going to come apart during a flight. Boeing claims they've investigated this problem. Well, we'll find out more with Alex Stone coming up after 2 o'clock. I've read the story several times. I just talked about it on the air, but I cannot believe that the state of California has spent $24 billion on homelessness. Everything got worse, and they have never tracked a dollar. They don't know what's going on. According to the California State Auditor, they have not tracked any of the money that's been spent, and they could not tell you what works and what doesn't. Clearly, a lot doesn't work. Clearly, right? Because we have a third of the homeless in the whole country. All the numbers have shot up for 10 straight years, and it was even up last year. They don't care. And I guess there was no reaction today. You didn't hear Gavin Newsom speak about this. There's no reaction from anybody in government. And because they expect, first of all, the news media reported this lightly. It's there, but it's not this big, overwhelming story. And the Democrats in Sacramento figure it'll blow over in a couple of days. So it doesn't matter. So and the thing is, the homeless stay in your neighborhood. They stay in your parks. They stay in front of your schools. They still break into the stores. They still are creepy and weird and make you feel unsafe, make you feel spooked. They're still there. And there is no chance they're going to go anywhere because nobody in government, certainly not Karen Bass or Gavin Newsom, care. They're just redirecting money to enrich the politically connected who start these fake nonprofits. And I'm telling you, the nonprofits are fake. They're criminal. The whole system should be bulldozed. They have no interest in clearing out homelessness. None. All of it is rhetoric. It's fake, phony rhetoric. Now, here's something else that's hard to believe. The California State Assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez. Kate Sanchez has a bill. Is this controversial? Is this like a political thing? Tell me. Is this controversial that if you have illegal alien fentanyl dealers and they're convicted of felonies, can they be deported? Or do they? She says no more sanctuary state protections. Expose these illegal alien fentanyl dealers to deportation. But I listen to this. We found this on her Twitter feed. Here's her talking about the bill. And at the end, you'll hear the assembly voting the bill down.
Respectfully, I don't believe this is an anti-immigrant bill at all. It's anti-fentanyl to start. This bill simply is a referendum on the sanctuary state policy as it relates to fentanyl dealers. I don't believe current law is working, and I believe we need to give law enforcement more tools to protect our Californian communities. AB 2209 is a choice. It's a choice between fixing our fentanyl crisis or doing nothing. It's a choice of either protecting innocent lives or protecting the livelihoods of criminal cartel members.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
On AB 2209 by Assemblymember Sanchez, the motion is due pass to the Appropriations Committee. McCarty.
No.
McCarty, no. Alanis.
Aye.
Alanis, aye. Lackey.
Aye.
Lackey, aye. Wynn. Reyes.
No.
Reyes, no. Ting.
No.
Ting, no. Wilson.
No.
Wilson, no. Zabur. Zabur, no.
That measure fails. Next author, Mr. Berman.
There you go. That's it. Didn't get out of committee. You had all Democrats voting no. Again, this is deporting felony fentanyl dealers who are here illegally. They will not. I want to get the names, Ray, when we get a chance, maybe tomorrow. The names of those on the committee who voted no. And we're going to publicize them, and we're going to describe them, and we're going to give out their phone numbers, and we're going to give out their email addresses, and we'll see how many of them are in the Southern California area, but it doesn't matter. They should all be contacted because they're on the record now. It would deport illegal alien fentanyl dealers. It would force the state to turn them over to federal immigration authorities so they would no longer get sanctuary protection. Fentanyl dealers. Hello? Is this a political issue? This is not some liberal thing, is it? No, this is just an insanity thing. This is the fringe wackos, and the legislature is made up of fringe wackos. They will not deport fentanyl dealers if they're here illegally. This is so crazy. And they'll actually vote no in public. Although it looked like a couple were cowards. I want their names too. A couple weren't responding. We talked about that yesterday. That's a trick that a lot of the Democrats use when they don't want to say, when they don't want to vote no, or when they don't want to vote no publicly because they don't want it to be a campaign issue, right? They'll just go quiet. They're weasels. And we're gonna name the weasels who voted against Kate Sanchez's bill. Seriously, is there a single person out there that wants illegal alien fentanyl dealers to stay in business and not get deported? Is anybody? Is there one person outside of... I doubt there's anybody listening. I think this is only like fanatical activists and politicians. Nobody normal would possibly vote down Sanchez's bill. This is amazing stuff today. All right, we got more coming up. And after 8 o'clock, it's Alex Stone. 787 Boeing Dreamliner. Could it break apart into pieces? That's what an engineer says may happen down the road with some of these because they're not fastened together properly. We'll explain all this after 2 o'clock.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Next hour, we're going to talk with Alex Stone from ABC News about the Boeing Dreamliner 787. There's another whistleblower. He's going to testify before Congress. And he said the 787 Dreamliner may break apart down the road. The longer it flies, the more likely the fuselage will burst into pieces. Not making this up. Also, we're going to talk with Steve Gregory next hour. L.A. is apparently the car theft capital of the United States. We're number one. Excellent. Everything is going as planned in Karen Bass's Los Angeles. The inflation report came out today. Yesterday, we went through, the Wall Street Journal did an analysis of food inflation. And depending on what kind of groceries you get, you're paying 35 to 50% more than you did 5 years ago. And these are common, ordinary groceries that most people buy. 35 to 50%. Just depends on what you decide to put into the basket, right? That's really, really high in 5 years. In fact, they figure at a minimum, if you spent $100 on a bag of groceries, it would cost you $137 today. $100 5 years ago, $137 today. So you'd have to take out $37 worth of groceries if all you had on you was $100. Well, the Consumer Price Index went up 3.5% in March of this year compared to last year. Now, a 3.5% increase. This is on top of the last 5 years of increases, right? The core prices also rose more than expected. That excludes food and energy categories. Why would you exclude food and energy? I don't know. That's really most of your day-to-day shopping, isn't it? But anyway, both numbers sucked. So the stock market took a dump today. What I looked at one story that came out, where's this from? The Wall Street Journal. And I just took a yellow highlighter and marked all the places where they pointed out that all the government experts, economists, don't know what they're talking about. For example, all right, the Consumer Price Index rose 3.5%. That was a touch higher than economists had forecast. Then two lines later, core prices rose more than expected on a monthly basis and annual basis. I see. Read farther down. Third straight month of above expectations inflation data. Next page. Cost of shelter continued to defy predictions. Many economists had remained optimistic that inflation would decline in March. But the latest data prompted some to push back the timing. Of course, originally they said inflation wasn't going to happen, and then they said it was only going to be transitory. I think that's what the Biden spokesholes were trying to push. So they have been wrong. Well, they're always wrong. Everybody in public life is always wrong with all their stupid, stupid predictions. I guess they assume most people aren't paying attention. And it doesn't really matter. But it does show that they don't know what they're doing at all. I read today that the Biden administration dropped an extra $5 trillion in spending over the course of his term. $5 trillion. This is all borrowed, printed money. Which is what jacked up. That's what ignited the inflation. That's what jacked it up. $5 extra trillion just arbitrarily thrown into the pot. Money out of nowhere, money borrowed from the Chinese, money off a printing press, $5 trillion. Well, of course you get inflation. It's impossible not to. And now they can't stop it. That like Gavin Newsom blowing $24 billion on homelessness and having zero success, same thing. People should be fired for that. You blow $5 trillion and you jack up grocery prices 50%, go home, out of here. You stink at your job. These people stink at their jobs. They shouldn't have them anymore. They should be fired, removed. Don't come to me with a campaign. Don't come. Oh, yeah, I'd like another 4 years. No, out. Out. My grocery prices are up 50%. It's on you. Stupid ideas. Same thing with Newsom. Oh, I'd like to be president. No. No, you added tens of thousands of homeless people. Then you blew $24 billion. No, no. I wish everybody would try to stop treating these people with respect and dignity. They're charlatans. They're fools. So debate me on this, right? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Got a governor who blows $24 billion and never even tries to see if any of the money works on homelessness? Or you're in charge of the economy and you spend an extra $5 trillion? $5 trillion? Why do we have inflation? Oh, my God. It's colossal stupidity. Speaking of stupid, if you're flying to LAX this weekend, or you're driving to LAX or crawling to LAX, good luck, because you know they've had much heavier traffic. They're closing lanes on roads around LAX because they got this people mover thing they're building. This is one of those trams. It's going to be a 2.25-mile elevated train to get people to and from airport terminals, parking lots, rental cars, and to the metro. You know, there'll be dozens of people taking the metro. They want to get this ready at least by the Olympics. It was supposed to be ready this year, but of course, they're late and over budget. The opening is delayed to late 2025, but they're doing a lot of construction on Century Boulevard. And so two westbound and two eastbound lanes are going to be closed beginning Monday. Well, it began Monday at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be closed through Friday at 7. And these are 24-hour closures. So it's been going on since Monday. It will continue until Friday. Do you know, Monday morning, it was taking drivers 48 minutes to get through LAX's upper level. 48 minutes. During the March construction, it was taking as long as 91 minutes. And it's called the Roadway and Utility Enabling Project. What the hell does that mean? This is the tram. It's a driverless system. You've probably seen this at other airports. Supposedly going to make traffic better around the airport for the Olympic Games. It's not for us. For all I know, they'll tear the thing down and sell it after the Olympic Games, and we'll never get to use it. All right, we come back. It's Alex Stone, ABC News, and the 787 Dreamliner. Whistleblower says that thing's going to pop in midair the longer it flies, because it was fastened, the pieces were fastened together improperly. He's going to talk to Congress about this. This is not a crazy person in the street here. More coming up.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have
have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.